Well, did you come hungry for the Word of God here tonight? Yeah, it's nice to be in the air conditioning. Of course, we had a couple Sundays ago, it was snow showers, snow flurries. And here, you know, now we're just 10 days later and it's 81 degrees after dinner time. Hey, I'll take it. Praise the Lord. I'll take it. Amen. Are you hungry for God's Word here tonight? Yeah, let's go over to Ephesians and let's go over to chapter 4. And as you could probably tell with the text message that I sent out tonight, you can kind of tell where we're going. I'm going to call this message, Bringing Your Supply to the Local Church. Amen. Bringing your supply to the local church. I was talking to a minister here recently, and I was having a conversation, and she said something that just kind of, when she said it, it just kind of sparked in me. And I decided to take it and preach a sermon on it and go in that direction here. And so I'm excited about it. But she was talking about bringing your supply to church and talking about what we have to offer the local church. And it just stirred me in my heart to talk about that. You know, sometimes it can become very easy to get in relief mode. You know what I mean by that? Things just kind of get going and you just kind of pick up a routine and you start going in coast mode. You know, it's very easy to get in coast mode. And of course, we're here with summer upon us. And so many times people, they get coasting in their spiritual life, especially during the summertime. How many of you know that God is still God even in the summertime in Western New York? Even though we might get 3 months of good weather, you know, God doesn't take a vacation. We don't take a vacation from God. We just keep bringing our supply. Bringing our supply, because so many times, you know, we want God to show up for us. But how many know that we have to show up for Him? Amen. Amen. That we have to bring what He has given to us, and we bring it to His local church body. You know, I'll tell you what, and of course, it's more than just being in a church service, but how many of you know that that's where it begins?
Right.
That's where it begins, you know, that you've brought your supply. And of course, I'm preaching in the choir here tonight. You're here. And you're here even when the weather was tempting you maybe not to be. And so, praise the Lord, this doesn't pertain to you, but maybe it'll pertain to all of us at some time down the road, right? But I'll tell you what, when people aren't in their local church, that local church may suffer.
Yes,
yeah, praise the Lord, that we are to be joined to a local church. Yes. Praise God. And we need to bring our supply, because when you're not there, the body is missing or is absent of one of its members.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when we say, you know, I'll tell you what, so many times there's a casual definition of what it means to be a church member. You know, sometimes that means, you know, people think that that means that you've taken a class, you've taken the church course, you signed the church paperwork, you're now a church member. That is not the church membership that I'm talking about, because that formal church membership, you know, you can't be a member of a church just based on paperwork, you know. And in some places, you know, they'll have an 8-week course of being a member of that church, and they make you put down your income, and you know, oh yeah, oh yes. You wouldn't believe the amount of stories of people that have called me and say, well, this church, you know, to join their church, you have to tell them how much money you make. You got to commit to being there. So many, you know, you have to jump through all these hoops. Well, the Bible likens membership to the parts in our body.
Right.
You know, how many of you are glad that you didn't have to beg and insist that your lungs showed up today? How many of you are glad that when it was time that they were there, and you might not have even realized, you know, you don't think about every part that's functioning in the body, but you're sure glad that they're there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, what hurts is when you realize that somebody is gone or something is missing, right? And so we need to understand that it hurts. And I'm going to just share my heart, you know, as a pastor, and of course as our Wednesday night group. You represent a real faithful group, a real faithful side of the church, and but none of us are beyond correction or hearing this or instruction. But I'll say this, that as a pastor, you know, I get to realize when people are in service, and when they're gone, it hurts. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying I take it personally or I'm not insulted or anything like that. But when somebody's missing, their supply is missing. And when their supply is missing, they had a part to add to that service, right? They had a piece. And sometimes, you know, people think, well, I'm not preaching. I'm really not doing anything. I'm just sitting in a chair and I'm just attending. Well, if all we're going to be is church attenders for the rest of our life, we are going to miss God's plan for our life. But how many of you know it begins with attending church? You know, praise the Lord. And people say, well, you're a pastor. You're just supposed to encourage people to attend church. That's what you need. No, that's what you need. That's what you need. And you're going to see that there is a supply that is given straight from the throne of God, and it occurs right here in the local church. It's a supply that you don't want to miss. It's a supply that I don't want to miss. And all of us play a part in every service. God has something that he wants to accomplish here tonight. In every single one of us. And it's not just about what we receive as individuals. It's where we're going together as a church family. Yeah, praise God. And so I'll be honest, folks, first of all, know this. It's not wrong to take a vacation. Take a vacation. And of course, when you're on vacation, you won't be here. And that's completely known and understood. And I'm never going to be the type. I don't think anyone in here would ever, say that I've, you know, called them or harassed them or, you know, about missing church or something for, you know, a reasonable thing like, you know, taking a vacation or maybe somebody wasn't feeling good or something like that. I'm talking about our habits. I'm talking about the behavior that we constantly, you know, that we portray, right? But there'll be times when, my wife or myself, we become aware maybe somebody is traveling. And of course, that's a justifiable, you know, you just, you know, taking a vacation or whatever. And I'll hear that somebody isn't going to be in service. And there's part of me that says, oh, no. Yeah. You know, and it's not because of an insulting way or I don't control anybody's life. This church doesn't, you know, hound you. We don't give you surveys. I don't know who gives what to the church. I have no idea. I don't go looking at that kind of thing. I'm not going to send you emails and call you up and why weren't you in church. I'm talking about as a minister, as someone who stands in that office of a pastor, when somebody's not there, when their supply is not there, I truly, genuinely miss it. I mean, I truly, genuinely miss it, even when it's just for justifiable things, you know? Like, for instance, there's people that are traveling here, you know, this week and, you know, not in church here tonight, and they usually are. And guess what? I'm thinking about them. Not because they're doing something wrong. They're not doing anything wrong at all. But I love their precious supply that they bring to the service, you know? There's people that, you know, serve in the ministry and they serve in the ministry of helps. And when they're not there, even for, you know, good reasons, you know, even there's folks that, of course, take vacations and honeymoons and all that. Woo, glory to God. You know, we're happy and thrilled for you. But I have to admit, just as a pastor, you really long to see people in church. And you do. And it's not because, you know, everyone sits in the same seat, you know, every week. No one has assigned seats. You sit wherever you want. But, you know, there develops a pattern. Sure. There develops a habits. And I start to, you know, see people's faces. And I start to program it, you know, into my mind. And when I don't see somebody there, like, oh, where are they? You know, like, oh, no, their supply's not there tonight. So it's a good thing. And it's a real kumbaya thing here with your pastor. Your pastor really loves you here tonight, you know. Every service needs your supply of praise. It needs your supply of participation. You know, maybe you came to this church and, you know, it seems a little bit more vocal than maybe the church you grew up in. And a lot of people praising and lifting hands and saying amen. And, you know, maybe, you know, there's some people that just aren't really thrilled about that. But before you start criticizing, just know this. Those people are bringing a supply to the service, you know. It's good to have a reaction in church where it's not just like a funeral service. Come on, when we come to church, it's time to celebrate. It's time to bring something. It's time to have fun. It's time, isn't it? I'll tell you what, if we sat here and just had a service and it was just nothing but silence, it would be very uninteresting. And here's what we need to know is that the scripture tells us that when we are responsive like that, God gets involved. That it actually charges the atmosphere around us so that God can move. Right? 2 Corinthians 1:20, that the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And I've, of course, we could range through a whole bunch of scriptures. Psalm 35, 27, let them shout for joy and be glad. Then that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. We go to Psalm 5:11. Right? It says, let them shout for joy because thou defends them. Let them forever be joyful in thee. Yeah. The Lord will bless the righteous with favor. He'll surround them as with a shield. There's so many scriptures that talk about praising and worshiping and being responsive. What is that? That's bringing a supply. So it's appreciated because God's going to do something in our midst. We're going to make that atmosphere available for him to move. Praise the Lord. So here we go. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 11. Of course, this is a familiar passage, but we're going to read a little further down maybe than we usually do. And let's go to Ephesians 4. I'll tell you what, there's a supply that God has for you, and then there's also a supply that you have for him, and you have for his local church. Amen. And let's talk about that. Of course, if you real quickly you look up at verse 8, it's talking about what Jesus gave to the church when he ascended. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that's Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Everyone say gifts. Yes. All right, now go down to verse 11. Of course, this is something that we have gone over lots and lots. He gave some, here are the gifts that he gave, all right? How many of you know gifts are given out of graciousness? Yes. Notice these are gifts, not awards. Yes. You know what I mean? An award is something you earned. A gift is something that was given that you didn't deserve. All right? Okay. And you're going to see I'm not talking about me personally by any means. I'm going to talk about the ministry offices. And it says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. All right? And so those are the fivefold ministry offices that Jesus himself gave to the body of Christ when he ascended on high. And notice, of course, I always have to say it, notice the apostle and the prophet are still alive and well today. Because this scripture is just as much about the apostle and the prophet as it is the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. See, we live in a time where the body of Christ says, well, we have pastors, we have evangelists, we have teachers, but the apostle and the prophet has vanished away. No, they haven't. Because notice, when did Jesus give the gifts? When he ascended. I love to point that out. When did Jesus ascend? Some people said, well, it went away with, the last prophet was John the Baptist. Well, that's funny because John the Baptist was gone before Jesus ascended. These gifts were given after the ascension of Christ. And so, and Paul is writing several years after Jesus ascended. He's writing to a church. These are the gifts given to the New Testament church. And it begins with the apostle and the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. All right? Now, these are not listed necessarily in order of importance. They are listed in the order in which they came to the body of Christ, all right? And so they're not listed in importance, but how many of you know that the apostle and the prophet still exist today? Yes. Oh, boy, I know. Some people, denominations will teach you there's no prophets anymore. Well, why did Paul list them then? Yeah. To the church. He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men, all right? But notice these gifts, they were men and women who stand in these ministry offices. The person themselves is not the gift, all right? It is the office that they stand in that is the gift. And every office has special equipment used to edify and to build the body of Christ, all right? I happen to stand in two of these offices as pastor and teacher. I'm not an apostle. I am not a prophet, and I am not an evangelist, I am a pastor and I am a teacher, all right? And we have to make that clear, all right? And every single one of these offices will have special gifts to edify and to build the body of Christ, all right? There's special equipping, but notice what they are supposed to do. Verse 12, he says this, this is what the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher will do for the perfecting of the saints. Do we have any saints here tonight? The word saints means born-again believers. The word perfecting means the maturing, all right? For the maturing of the born-again people of God. How many of you know Jesus didn't want to leave us helpless? He didn't want to leave us immature. He wanted us to grow up, right? And so he gave, as his supply to our lives, he put these ministry offices in the lives of men and women that would be in our midst, that would help perfect us or mature us, it says, for the work of the ministry. Now, the work of the ministry it's talking about here is not the pastor's work of the ministry. It's to perfect the saints so the saints do the work of the ministry. All right, so do you notice the back and forth supply here? God gave a supply so that the supply would come back in return. All right, that he would give a supply of these ministry offices, and so they would perfect those individuals, and those individuals would then have a supply for the local church, for the local church body. For the maturing of the believers, so that the believers would do the work of the ministry. It's not just the pastor's job to minister, you understand. Now, it's my job to foremost take the pulpit and to feed you the word of God, but that is not the only ministry that exists, mind you. There's lots of ministries around a local church that need to be done. All right, and it's my duty, my calling, my gifting to prepare you to do those things. All right, you will be number one, the greatest soul winners that this church has. Okay, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. The soul winning arm of this ministry is not me. It is you. I deal with mostly Christians. I deal with people that are on their way to heaven. You will work with people that may not know Christ. You know, you might have people in your jobs, in your schools, and wherever that don't know Jesus more so than the people I work with, okay? If my staff isn't saved, we got a problem, right? So I'm not going to be leading my staff to the Lord anytime soon, all right? Praise God. So you're being perfected to do the work of the ministry. And number one, that's soul winning. And number two, that's serving in the house of God. Yeah, serving in the local church. Why? Because what does it say? You're being perfected for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yeah, or you could say it this way, the local church. Yeah. The local church. All right, so notice you can't be matured without a pastor.
That's right.
Let's say it again. You cannot be mature without a pastor.
Right.
I can't be mature without a pastor. And then I've known other individuals. Of course, it begins with the pastor, but it doesn't stop there. Now, going back up to verse 11 real quick, looking at the ministry offices, of course, in the order, I don't want to say importance, but in the order of percentage of influence in our lives, the pastor will have the most influence in our life. Hands down, I'm not saying that because I am one. I'm saying that because I have one. I have a pastor, just like you have a pastor, okay? And your pastor will teach you, I mean, probably 90% of the time or more and beyond, all right? And sometimes, you know, people will, you know, get familiar with the pastor or get used to the pastor, and they stop bringing their supply. You know, I noticed this when we had a Reverend Joel in a few weeks ago, and then, of course, in a couple months, Pastor Nancy Dufresne is going to be here. I guarantee that we would come here, we would be excited, you know, we'd be praising, we'd be worshiping, we'd be responsive, because we've been taught to bring a good supply for the special guest minister. Well, what are you bringing when your pastor's here? I'm not in any way trying to, I'm not in any way trying to talk about, you know, me or make my job any easier. But seriously, why do people bring sometimes, some people, not all the time, this isn't a major problem in this church, but sometimes they will bring a greater excitement. They will bring a greater supply. They will praise a little bit more when there's a special guest minister. You know, they'll be into praise and worship. Oh, come on now. You know, don't do that to me. No, that's not right. That's not right, you know. A pastor will represent the main feeding in your life. You know, and sometimes those guest ministers, they come in and they get to be like aunts and uncles and grandparents that get to have all the fun. And then they go home and leave you with the parents. And the parents got to do the feeding and got to do the cleaning up. And I got to do the correcting. And sometimes kids will get more excited about the aunt and the uncle or the grandma or grandpa than they do dad and mom. Because they're with dad and mom. And I'm just, they're with dad and mom more than they are with those other folks. But I tell you what, that's not right. That's not right at all. And so let's not just bring our supply when there's a guest in the house. Come on, God wants to do mighty things in our midst when it's me and you together. Don't lay your supply down because, well, it's just another Wednesday night. That's the reason why it's not doing you any good, because in your mind you said it was just another Wednesday night. No, it was not just another Wednesday night. No, it was not just another Sunday morning. It was a meeting with the living God, with His Word. And I just might be the face that you see 95% of the time up here. Maybe 90 to 95%, all right? And so, but notice what these offices do. They help mature us. And thank God, I have a pastor. And I would say in my life that at least 95% of all feeding and mentoring and instructing and maturing has come from my pastor, Pastor Michael Laketic. All right? Now, I've had other ministers that have fed my life, that have stood in the offices of apostle. I have ministers that I know that stand in the office of a prophet. It does exist, and it is for today. If not, there would have been an asterisk next to this verse. There's no expiration date on it. It's still good. All right? I don't know a whole lot of New Testament evangelists. I know of some names, but personally, I don't. I know plenty of pastors and teachers, but I do know folks that stand in the office of apostle and prophet, praise the Lord, and they've helped as well to mature us, amen. But notice, without these offices, and especially without the office of pastor, you will not be mature.
That's right.
And you won't be used. Oh, my goodness, he just made himself sound so important. No, I'm not talking about myself. I have a pastor too. Amen. And I would not have been used by God had I not had him, and still do have him in my life. Thank God. And not just, I don't just still have him in my life. He's more important now than he ever has been in my life. Amen. Thank God for it. Why? Because I want to grow up. Now go to verse 12. I want to be perfected. I want to be matured because I want to be used in the body of Christ. Notice you aren't going to bless anybody until you are sitting under the fivefold ministry offices of the body of Christ.
Right. That's right.
You know, think about all the people that sit in churches that have pastors that just went to the seminary or they went to college and they got a degree that calls them a pastor. A degree does not make you a pastor. It's a gift given by Christ regardless of their education level. Well, I tell you what, the majority of the body of Christ today would reject the 12 disciples.
Yeah, you're right.
Many of them were uneducated. They were unsophisticated. They were undignified, uncivilized. You know, they were all, most of them, not all of them, but most of them were from the wrong side of the tracks. You know what I mean by that? But God used them.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. For the edifying, or that word edifying means the building of the body of Christ. I haven't even gotten to my message yet. I haven't even gotten there yet. But I am saying here, God has a supply to you. It's occurring right now. Can I say something that, again, it's not to sound arrogant, because it's this way in any church where there's a pastor and a congregation. The greatest supply that you will ever receive from God is when your pastor is in the pulpit teaching the word under the anointing of God. You cannot hijack church, meaning you can't go and have your own church somewhere Because in God's eyes, church is not happening until there's an office present.
There you go. Very good word. Amen.
Why? He gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher for the maturing of the saints to do the work of the ministry.
That's right.
So there is going to be an office that is going to be necessary before there's going to be maturing, right?
Amen.
The reason why, you know, God could use me is because I submitted under my pastor. I submitted to the supply that God has for me. And now, in return, there's going to be a supply that I bring.
Amen.
All right? And I'm bringing my supply right now.
Yeah.
All right? I'm bringing my supply right now. I've studied the word, yes, for myself, but I studied it also for you.
Yes.
All right? I've stayed faithful because I love Jesus, but I've also stayed faithful for you.
Amen.
I'm at my post. When you show up here, 95% of the time, I'm going to be here. And if I'm not, it's because for a legitimate reason, either I was traveling or something like that, or, you know, whatever reason, but I'm at my post.
Amen.
All right. So why does the body of Christ think that they don't have to be at their post as much as the pastor is at their post? Listen, the pastor or the other ministry offices will not be rewarded anymore. If you are faithful in what God has called you to do, and if you are faithful in your supply, you can be rewarded as much, if not more, than ministers who stand in those offices. Believe me, because if somebody is not called to ministry, but yet they've been faithful in their supply, and maybe there's a minister who has a great gift or whatever, but yet he has not been faithful in his supply, that one, even the unseen one, will be rewarded more. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go to verse 13. It says, this is why we have the edifying of the body of Christ by these fivefold ministry offices, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what those offices do in our life. Without them, we won't have these things. Unto a perfect man, that means mature, spiritually mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, don't raise your hand, but have you arrived at the stature of the fullness of Christ? I haven't. You haven't either. But how many of you know, it sounds like it's possible to get there, you know, in the sense that God can really do some amazing things in our midst. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, this is not going to be a real sophisticated message here. I think some of you are looking at me like we're waiting for this to, like, get real clever or something. No, this isn't about being clever. You know what I say around here all the time. You might not swing from the chandeliers over this message, but it will save your life.
Amen.
Remember back there, what is it, number 16? Remember how Aaron, the priest, he stood? The plague had broken out upon the Israelites, and Aaron, the high priest, it says that he stood in between the living and the dead and stayed the plague. You know, those people had no idea that that man of God was the only thing standing between life and death for them. I know for a fact there's been times that the only thing standing between me and death has been the faithfulness of my pastor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, verse 14. We're trying to get down to verse 16. That's really where we're trying to get to. It says that we henceforth be no more children. That's the best you can be without a pastor. You know, a spiritual infant is literally what it says in the Greek. That we henceforth be no more spiritual infants. God doesn't want you to remain a spiritual infant. And remember, this is all talking about the supply that he gave to you through the ministry offices, all right? That we henceforth be not spiritual infants, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'll tell you what, sounds like a pretty dangerous place to not have a pastor. Sounds like a dangerous thing to not have a local church. Sounds pretty dangerous to me. Doesn't sound like anything I'd dare do, but I guess I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Go to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. So don't get mad at me. This is just the truth in love. That we will grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God says, grow up. Amen. All right. Now, this is the part I've been really, I was just going to start in verse 16, but I had to give you the pre-sermon. All right, so let's start the second sermon for the night. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, that's us, fitly joined together and compacted. Wow, I'm not even sure I know what that means. By that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part has a measure, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in love. Oh, my goodness. I was kidding when I said I don't know what compacted means. It's just not a word that we use all the time. It means fitly joined. And literally, the Amplified uses the term ligaments. Ligaments. Okay? How many of you know it's not just bone and muscle in there, but there's ligaments that attach it, and that's what it's talking about. It's talking about being attached to the body of Christ. Okay? All right. So let's keep looking at this verse. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part has an effectual working. Every part has, that's why I said, are you bringing your supply to the body? Because you have a supply. It's called the measure of every part. The effectual, powerful, working measure of every part. Dr. Dufresne, I was with him a lot, and so many times, around the ministry table, sometimes names come up. And names come up, and it's not because ministers are sitting around gossiping about people. It's because they bring up people that they want to see doing better in life. You know, and those names will come up, and so many times there'd be people that would come up in conversation that were once faithful and then disappeared out of the body of Christ, whether a church member or another minister or something. And Dr. Dufresne would say all the time, he'd say, out of joint. They're out of joint in the body. Have you ever had something in your body, a bone or something out of place, something that's out of joint, a dislocated shoulder or a dislocated hip or something like that? It is a very painful experience, all right? That is exactly what the body of Christ goes through when his people show up without their supply. Yeah, come on now. It says, can we bring this up in the Amplified? Let's bring it up in a more modern translation here. It says, for because of him, because of Jesus, the whole body, the church, and all of its various parts, all of its various parts, there's the congregation right there. We've talked about my part. My part's to stand in these offices, to edify and to equip you for the work of the ministry, okay? And now it starts talking about all the various parts. And notice, not every part is the same, but every part has a measure. And if that measure does not show up, the body suffers. All right. It says, closely joined, firmly knit together. That's what the word compacted means. By the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need. Okay. Every part of your body has different needs. And you are very glad when those parts show up and supply that need. You know, my body has need of different, whether it's toxins, whether it's chemicals, whether it's different fats or whatever that need to be filtered in the body. I'm glad my liver showed up and is providing that need today. Not that I'm purposely putting those things into my body, but you understand there's a part. There's also a filtration system in your lungs, all right, that helps to take out certain things that you breathe and whatever. I'm glad that that part is showing up, fulfilling that need. My blood cells need oxygen, you know. My muscles, my blood cells are carrying oxygen to my muscles so I can, you know, walk and, you know, function and so on. All right, you can tell I'm not a doctor. You can tell by the way I describe these things. But I tell you what, in the same way, the local church has a need for what you have. The local church has a need for who you are, what you have, what God has gifted you with, what you possess, what any, you know, your intelligence, whether it's a different skill, whether it's just a willingness to be faithful, a willingness to pray, a willingness to be here, a willingness to praise. Come on now, every part has to be functioning. Dear heavens. Oh, some people, well, I just wanted an exciting message. Well, this is what was stirring in my heart. And so this is what we get. Hallelujah. And I'm being blessed because it's the Word. All right? We're supposed to be hungry for whatever the Word is saying. But notice this. When each part with power adapted to its need, notice that God has graced you or given you power to fulfill something. Oh, come on now. When Christians sit around, get a hold of this. When Christians sit around looking at each other, wondering why it's not working in their life, I can give you this answer. All right? Many times it's because they are not working in the measure that God called them to in the body of Christ. They might be attending church, but God has called them to do something more than that, and they're not doing it. Notice that power turns on when you decide to use that grace that he gave you. All right? You know, even body parts in a natural body, they start to deteriorate if they're not used. You know, the longer if they're not used, but as soon as they're used, you know, or as soon as they're hooked up to the blood supply, the power starts to flow to them. Yeah, in the same way, God's children everywhere are going without in their life because they're not functioning in the body of Christ as he called them to do. It's not just something that benefits the body. It also benefits you.
Yes, it does.
People say, well, you know, the church needs me. Yeah, God has a need. Yeah, God has a service for you. But you need it too.
Yeah.
And without it, both sides suffer. The local church suffers because each part has power adapted to its need. You have something this service needs tonight. You have something that this local church needs. Mm-hmm. So it is working properly in all of its functions, then it will grow to full maturity, building itself up in love. And so notice the church will absolutely need you to bring something, not just take something away. Today, in America, the society is designed to take something away instead of bring something there. A lot of people are a demand instead of a supply. Have you ever heard me say this? You've heard me probably say it a lot of times. A lot of people would rather be a drain than be a faucet. You know, if you've had little kids and, you know, and they get to, you know, to bath time and they have all their toys and they got to get out of the bath and then you hit the, you know, you pull the plug there and all the water starts draining and you get the little water tornado going, you know, and all those toys and washcloths and shampoo bottles, they all just start making their way towards the drain because that's what drains do. They want everything to come to them, you know. But a faucet is the part that gives out. That provides. That fills, right? You know, are you here to fill this place or are you here to take something away from it? Come on now. And see, where Christians are going to walk in the dynamic power of God is in when they take upon themselves, I am going to fill my church. I'm going to fill that service. I am going to fill it with my praise. I'm going to fill it with people that I invite. Glory to God. I'm going to fill it with my tithes and offerings. Yeah. I'm going to fill it with my response. I'm going to fill it with my hunger and desire. You're going to see, we're going to go over there in just a minute. We're going to see that God wants us to bring something to church and not just take something away where, come on, you know. All right, well, let's go over there. I'll show you. I'll show you. All right, praise the Lord. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Are you ready?
Yes.
You know, we've been told, and in a measure this is true, so don't misunderstand me, but we've been told, you know, I come to church so I can get spiritually charged. Well, what if you came to church already spiritually charged? You know, what if you came to church already spiritually charged? You know, and what if it wasn't the worship team's job to wake you up? Reverend Tony's over there nodding his head. What if it wasn't the announcement guy's job to break off the cobwebs? I tell you what, Pastor Brad, so many, you know, sometimes on Sundays, you know, there'll just be cobwebs in a service. Actually, I'll be honest, there's a little bit of cobwebs here tonight getting started. I don't know if the hot air makes everyone start to be logy. Folks, we're not reptiles. We're warm-blooded. We don't have to slow down when we get under the hot rock. You know, you know, I had a pet iguana. Actually, it was my brother's, but we had an iguana, this lizard that grew super huge. And he loved his hot rock. And when he got on his hot rock, because he's an ectotherm or whatever he is, you know, they slow down. And sometimes that happens with people in the Northeast. We finally get a little hot weather, and they come to church all tired and logy, and they slow down because they're on the hot rock. Don't be on the hot rock. Praise the Lord. All right, where was I going? 1 Corinthians 14. Let me show you this. Praise God. All right, you know in context, 1 Corinthians 14 is about when and where, the public use of speaking in tongues versus the private use of speaking in tongues. It's talking about the difference of prophecy and tongues and interpretation. It's talking about the devotional prayer language that we all can have, or the difference between that and actually speaking that to the assembled body. There are two different functions and flows there. But then he gets down here to verse 26. Well, you know, I just want to read a few extra verses. I don't like pulling one verse. Go to verse 23. Notice it says, if therefore the whole church be come together, which it should be, the whole body, become together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad or crazy? All right? And so that's talking about the public use of tongues and private use of tongues. In verse 24, it says, but if all prophesy, or that means to speak with known language, there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. All right? And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Don't you want that to happen in our services? An unbeliever or an unlearned person walks in through our doors and they say, God is here. Maybe you had that experience coming in here. You know, I hope you did. If you didn't, well, don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about it. Right? He said, if their secrets of their heart will be made manifest, that's what God wants to be happening in our midst. God wants to be reading your mail so you know you had a supernatural experience with him. There is no doubt things that have been said tonight that have been reading somebody's mail. And you're sitting there and you're like, well, that's God revealing the secrets of your heart. Yeah, maybe you say, oh, that's me. Pastor's up there. He's talking about me and he doesn't even know it. Well, really what that is that's God making the secrets of your heart manifest so that you will come to him and be drawn to him. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report. That means to say aloud or say abroad. Report that God is in you of a truth. God wants you to leave here and go out and tell people, God's in that place. God's in that place. But how will that happen? All right. Well, how about verse 26? It says, how is it then, brethren? Do we have any brethren here tonight? Yeah. Brethren is a word for Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's talking about all of us. It's not just pastors or ministers. Look what it says. When you come together, here we are, come together, compacted, joined fitly together. It says, every one of you have a psalm, that means a song of praise, has a doctrine, that means truth, has a tongue. Ooh, brethren. When you come together, okay, it's talking about when believers come together, you can have a tongue. Aren't you glad? Have a revelation. No doubt we've had that tonight. Have an interpretation. There can be tongues and interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. But notice in this scripture what it says. Brethren, when you come together, let every one of you have something.
That's right.
Sure beats let every one of you just take something away. Let them just, you know, go there and you know, just spill their needs before God. God's not, believe me, he's not against filling your needs. He loves meeting your needs, all right? But wouldn't it be better, instead of going to church to get spiritually charged, why don't we do what this scripture says and come to church spiritually charged? All right, now it would be out of order for you to just jump up and speak over the pastor or something. Don't try that here. Just do yourself a big favor and don't. You will have, the Secret Service will jump on you quick. No, actually, I'll say, sit down. That's out of order. That's out of order. The Bible does not condone that. Well, the very verse tells us, let all things be done unto edifying. It's not edifying anybody if someone jumps up and interrupts the pastor. All right? But notice every brethren can have something. Come into church with a song of praise. Why would it have to take until the second or third worship song before you go get involved with praise and worship? You know, so are you ready for something? There's so many Christians that they miss the first song blessing.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever noticed that in churches, and we try to prevent this, but it even happens here, where the congregation is half full during the first song, right, and then by the time the second and third song, everyone finally shows up. You know, people just casually walking in. Who cares if you're 5 or 10 minutes late for church? You wouldn't do that to your dentist. Why do you do it to God? That is dishonorable. You wouldn't dare show up late to an appointment. I mean, if it was going to cost you your job. A lack of honor will cost you more than that. A lack of honor will steal from you and rob from you. But why don't you bring a song of praise? That doesn't mean we're going to hand you a microphone and you're going to sing a solo. I about guarantee you that's not going to happen. I mean, let me reword that. I promise you that is not going to happen. But you don't have to be it's not about who's standing in the center of the stage. All right, that person is just a trusted leader. They're there to help provoke what you should have brought with you.
Very good. Amen.
So many people, well, I'll wait until the third song before I finally get into praise and worship. But if you came already spiritually charged, we wouldn't have to, you know. You ever seen one of those camping flashlights or whatever, and they run on that electrical charge? You can charge them up. You know, you got to spin that thing 100 times, and then you turn on the light, and it lasts about 8 seconds. I'll tell you what, sometimes as ministry leaders, we feel with the house of God, and then the people will shine for a few seconds. Yeah, we shouldn't have to wind, you know. How about you come in, you ready to be someone's charge? Notice, go back up there to verse 24. Go back up there. But if all prophesy, listen, we have to be very careful about these definitions. What it's talking about here is that it's not talking about having prophecy night. It's not talking handing out a microphone and everyone comes up and predicts the future or has a word over everybody. No, 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 no. That is fruity, flaty. It's fluky, flaty, and fatty. Fruity, flaky, and nutty is what I was trying to say. All my vowels just jumped in there all at once. That's what happened. All right. It's talking. The word prophecy means to speak with inspired utterance. You know, you don't have to be telling the future or prophesying over an individual before you're inspired. I mean, you can be praising and worshiping and having a song of praise. Literally, it would be considered prophecy if it's inspired by God. No, you don't need a microphone. No, you don't need the center light on you or the spotlight or whatever. But what if everybody came to church charged up? But instead, come on now. And it says, but when all have something, if there come in one that believes not, an unbeliever, or one that's unlearned, he's convinced of all, he's judged of all. When that means judged, that doesn't mean that he's criticized by everybody. That means that his heart is convicted that all of these people have convinced them God is real. That they're convinced that they're in the presence of God. It's not talking about they're judged or criticized for what they're wearing or what they're doing, okay? It's not talking about that. He's convinced that atmosphere. See, those people brought their supply. They brought their praise. They brought whatever. Of course, we listed several different things. And they came to church spiritually charged. And the one unbeliever in that place looked around and said, oh my goodness, I'm in the presence of God. I got to know him. It says in verse 25, what happens, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God, and he will report to everyone in the city that God is in you of a truth. Isn't that awesome? Do you realize if those people didn't come spiritually charged, an individual might not have gotten saved? There is something with a church that is seeing souls being born again. You know, I would dare say, I mean, probably every week we have what? One, two, three? Yeah. I think we had four this past week. Yeah. And that's a good thing. That's normal. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, do you realize, you know, we've done just kind of a broad record keeping and taking a look at it, that in 10 years, the last 10 years at this church, between 800 and 1,000 different individuals have accepted Christ. And that's in our church services. That's in our church services. I mean, that doesn't count our outreaches and things like that. And so think about what's at stake when you're sitting there, when you walk into church. There's someone's eternity that they might not be convinced that God's in you because you're not acting like God's in you. You didn't get charged. Instead, you had to be charged up yourself. Come on now. Folks, believe me, I am preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. All right? And no, we're not going to hand out some secret recipe of how to come to church charged. I'll tell you, it's pretty simple. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Amen. I mean, and I'll tell you what, if your prayer and word time has gone dry, I'll tell you what to do. Praise Him. I'll tell you what, praise will get you out of that dry season. Praise will put you, I mean, say, well, what do you mean by that? No, I mean literally, when you pray, instead of bringing all your requests and things, if things have just seemed to lose momentum in prayer, I'll tell you what gets it back. If you feel like you've lost your fire in prayer, I'll tell you what gets it back, and it's praise. I have seasons that have happened over the years where it just comes, and it's like my prayer time is strictly just praising God. Strictly just praising Him. I'm not even requesting anything. I'm not releasing, faith in the sense that I'm itemizing certain things. I just come before God. I praise You. Father, I just praise You and I worship You. And that's what I do. And that might be the entire prayer time. I don't mean just those 3 seconds that I demonstrated. But that you know, the Bible talks about, you're in 1 Corinthians 14. Let me show you some other things you can do. Yeah, look at this. Look at verse 15. Go to 1 Corinthians 14, 15. Here's ways that you can come to church charged. Amen. Good. Oh, are you ready?
Yeah.
It says this in verse 15. Paul says, so what is it then? Well, back up to verse 14. It won't work without that verse. I wasn't planning on going this way, but since we're here. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So everyone that's ever criticized speaking in tongues, well, there's what the Bible says that it is. It's prayer directly out of your spirit. It's not out of your mind. It's out of your spirit. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? Just so you know. Some people, you know, they hear speaking in tongues. Oh, that's demonic. You better be careful because you just called the Holy Ghost demonic. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, notice it's an unknown tongue. It wouldn't be in Spanish because that's a known tongue. Somebody knows that. It's not your natural language. It's not, you know, some people say, well, tongues is when you start speaking in German and you never knew German. Wrong. That can happen, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about an unknown tongue. It's unknown to humanity, but it's not unknown to God. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, there you go, there's your answer. When someone prays in tongues, what is it? It is the Holy Ghost praying out of their spirit. It never makes it above your nose. So your mind is cut out of the loop, and that's when prayer is going to be the best. Because there is no better prayer than a prayer that is inspired by the Holy Ghost. All right? Because that our prayers, meaning our ideas, can fail. You know, how many of you know not every Christian who prays correctly? There's people that pray all the time, God, if it be your will, I'll be healed. Well, what happened right there? They just prayed against the scripture. The scripture doesn't say to pray that when it comes to healing. You don't, the Bible says that you go to him already knowing his will. Is it God's will to heal you? Yes, it is. So you need to go to him. This is a confidence that we have in him, 1 John 5:14, that if we know his will, right? If he hears us, we have the petitions we ask of him. We know his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, we have the petitions he asks of us. So when we go to God, there is a prerequisite, and that is to know his will.
Amen.
All right, now the Bible does tell us you can pray if it be thy will in terms of your personal situation.
Sure.
And the scripture uses the example about moving to a different city, taking a different job, doing things like that. Because how many of you know this, the Bible does not tell you where to work?
Yeah. Right.
All right, well then you say, Father, if this is your plan, then I pray that it'll be shown to me and things like that. But there are many things that God has already told us it is his will. Healing is one of them. All right? Just like salvation. No one would ever pray, Father, if it's your will, save me. Would you ever pray that way?
No.
Would you ever let a loved one pray that way?
No.
No, because you know that it is the will of God. And if someone's going to be saved, they have to go to God ahead of time knowing it's his will to save them.
Yes.
Well, why would it be different with anything else?
Right.
It's not different. Okay? And so when a person prays in an unknown tongue, he prays out of his spirit, by the Holy Spirit within him. But notice it says their mind is unproductive. The mind bears no fruit and helps nobody. Well, have you learned that just about in everything? Have you realized that your mind doesn't help a whole lot of people a lot? Now, go to verse 15 now in the King James. So Paul says this. He says, what is it then? He said, I will pray with the Spirit. Whose decision is it to pray with the Spirit? Remember, he just said praying with the Spirit is praying in an unknown tongue.
Yeah, right.
So whose decision is it to pray in an unknown tongue? It's our decision.
Right.
Notice Paul said, I will pray with my spirit. He didn't have to wait for God to come on him and shake it out of him.
Right.
You know, people have misunderstood, and they say, I'll pray in tongues when God makes me do it. I say, well, then guess what? It'll never happen.
Yeah.
And those are all the people and all the denominations that never will speak in tongues. Because it's not God's decision, it's yours. Woo, boy, that'll really upset some folks. Well, he said, what is it then? I, Paul, I'll decide to pray with my spirit. And he says, and I will pray with the understanding also. So do you have to, when you pray over your food, do you do that? When you have, when you're praying over your Whopper or your Quarter Pounder or whatever it is you're eating, I've been trying to stay away from those. and you sit down and you pray over your food. Did you have to wait for God to come on you and force that out of you? Who made that decision? You did. And you did so with your own understanding. So just as much as you are under the control of praying in a natural language, so are you under the control of praying in an unknown tongue. It's very plain in the scripture. Oh my goodness, I've heard preachers saying, well, if God wills it, and it'll come on you, and it'll just happen. They say they're going to be waiting a long time. They're going to be waiting a long, long time. That's why those people are the ones that say, why does it never happen to me? It will never happen to you like that. It never will. You say, so really, it's my decision? Yeah, after you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is your decision. I've had people come up and say, well, I spoke in tongues the first time I got filled, but I was waiting for God to speak out of me again. Well, I say, well, you'll be waiting for eternity then, because he's waiting for you. Because Paul said, I will pray. Because he asked this question, how does this work? What is it then? I'm going to pray out of my spirit by praying in an unknown tongue, and I will pray out of my understanding in my natural language as well. He said, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So notice there's praying with the Spirit and also singing in the Spirit. You know, what is singing in the Spirit? Singing in tongues. Yeah. It is one of my favorite ways to pray. I notice for some reason it predominantly happens here when we have our prayer meeting. Like I'll just notice I get here in the corporate setting, and I'll take a seat on the steps or my chair or wherever. And, you know, Reverend Tony will be on the keyboard, and I'll notice. And I think sometimes you even try to get it in my key. I don't know. Do you? I think you do. I can tell that you do. And, you know, I'm not trying to do that. But there's just an inspiration there to sing, you know, sing in tongues. Oh, my goodness, we're one of those churches. Yes, right, we're one of those churches. You mean one of those churches that get charged and create an atmosphere where people say God is in that place. I want to get saved. I want more of God. That's what an atmosphere creates. And so Paul's talking about what? Ways to be spiritually charged. Ways to be spiritually charged. Now watch this next verse. He said, I will sing with the understanding also. So did you pray, you know, or sing? Did we sing some songs tonight? Yep. You did that with your understanding. Yep, and that's great. Can you also sing in the Spirit? Yes, you can. Say, well, I don't know, I'm just kind of shy. Well, that's where you have to understand, that's where God lives. If you are out on a limb and your flesh is so uncomfortable, that's where God is. That makes me so uncomfortable. Well, that's where God is. My flesh cringes. Good. Because if you're waiting for the flesh and the Spirit to agree, you'll be waiting forever. Your flesh and the Spirit will never agree. Your flesh and your mind will never love you singing in tongues. And sometimes, unfortunately, the flesh and the mind win, and people are like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Well, you were too strong mentally, you were too strong physically, and not strong enough spiritually. Now look at verse 16. Look at this. When you sing in the Spirit, sing in the understanding. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. All right, remember, verse 14 set the stage. He's talking about speaking in tongues. All right? Notice there's a blessing. That word bless is the word worship. When you worship in other tongues, boy, it sure is quiet here. When you worship with other tongues, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you sayest? Now go to verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. This is, of course, when we do worship songs. How many of you notice they're in English? Because the English is there to edify everybody. But in your time, as you're getting ready for church and as you're going throughout your week, can you charge yourself by singing in the Spirit? Yes, you can. Absolutely. And notice this. It says, when you do that, you worship or you give thanks well. God is pleased with it.
Notice it doesn't please the devil. You know, it pleases God. You know, I used to be of the understanding, I just thought that tongues was for fanatics and weirdos. And then I realized that tongues is for weirdos, but for Christian weirdos. I'm kidding. But it's for those that'll actually be hungry for God. All right? But notice it says, when you give thanks, you give thanks while you worship. So, no, it's not something that you're going to do in front of a church service. No, it's not something we're going to hand you a microphone and you're going to worship and pray in tongues. Now, if we're all praying here together, then we can. Absolutely. But in the worship service, we don't. But notice that we're worshiping God in other tongues gives thanks well. All right? Oh, praise the Lord. It says, but the other is not edified. But that's what singing in our known language. Listen, can you be charged singing in English? Sure you can. Yeah, absolutely. These are things that you can do to be spiritually charged. Amen. Why don't you come into church ready that way? All right? Bring your supply. Okay, so let's talk about other areas that we can bring a supply. Serving in the local church. You know, I truly believe it is the will of God for every Christian to serve in the body of Christ. There, now, there's various forms. It won't, of course, not everybody will have a pulpit ministry. Not everybody will have a music ministry. Not everyone will be an usher or an audio video or a parking lot or nursery, children's church. I mean, there's all these various functions that need to be done, all right? And we need to lend our time and our ability to those things. Say, well, why? Well, one, yeah, the house of God needs it, but we need it more than the house of God needs it. If you want to fulfill the plan of God in your life, you need to serve. Jesus said, who is the greatest in heaven? It is he that doth serve. I added the King James doth. Not Darth. Doth. Praise the Lord. All right, so serving in the body of Christ. What about giving? Oh, I've seen it where people, you know, at first they'll be excited, you know, and they're excited to give, and they'll hear a message about tithing, or they'll hear a message about giving, and they'll get excited for a couple of weeks. Well, what are you going to do when the novelty wears off? Yeah. It's not something that you do for a couple of weeks. And we haven't had any, you know, problem with this or any fall off financially or anything. Actually, just the opposite. But we have to ask ourselves, are we as individuals continuing? You know, if you look back, you know, Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21. He said, for wherever your heart is, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. Right? And I like to look through my personal giving and see that every year I've increased. Meaning every year I've grown in my percentage of giving, which so happens to also be the amount, but it might not be the amount, it might be the percentage, which that's what God looks at. But have you look over your time with serving God. Are you increasing? Or are you withdrawing? Oh, you got to watch out. It could be real easy to become the drain and not the faucet, right? And so our serving, our giving. I've already talked about praising. Of course, I know that sounds weird to say here on a Wednesday night, but are you in services? We're going to have some special meetings here in a couple months where we're going to be in church from Sunday all the way through Wednesday night. Yeah. Now, I understand that there's sometimes work schedules and whatever, but if you can be there, be there. Yeah. You know, I noticed this, that we had Reverend Joel in, I don't know, several Sunday nights ago, back in April, and I just noticed it was literally at that time, it was the nicest day of the year. It was 75, it was middle of April, and you know, it was a Sunday evening, and I just noticed that we were probably down a solid 10 to 20% of what our normal special meeting attendance is. Actually, it was even less than our normal Wednesday night, you know? And, you know, you come to find out, well, people, you know, we wanted a picnic, and we wanted this, and we wanted that, which that stuff is just fine, but don't put it in front of the house of God. I'll tell you what, when those doors are open, I have a supply that needs to be there. And if I'm sitting there with a supply and I don't have it in the right place, something's not going to happen.
There you go, Pastor.
There are now, of course, those services were dynamic, so it didn't seem like there was any shortage of a supply. But if you're not there, yes, you will suffer. But how much more the house of God goes without one of its, you know, functioning members. And so I have something for every service. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, some people say, well, we just didn't get there in a service. If a service doesn't get there, it's not God's fault.
Right.
It's because we failed to do our part. Amen. Did you get any help here tonight? Yeah. So let's be careful not to start compromising and go in coast mode. You know what I mean? Start coasting because, one, it's summer. Folks, God is still the same God in the summer. His standards don't change. His plan for our lives don't change. Let's bring a supply. Listen, I'll tell you, I can't say it enough. Of course, we've used this illustration all the time. My body can live without the pinky, but my pinky cannot live without the body. You know? You know what I mean by that? We all are pinkies. You know what I mean? If we stay disconnected, if we're not connected properly, then we're going to suffer for it, okay? The body will continue without you, all right? But I don't know about you, but I'm glad my pinky's attached today, all right? There'd be things that we couldn't do if you weren't here.
That's right.
You know, there's things that churches can't do because people aren't bringing the support. Can we talk real? Can we talk real as a church? Folks, what happened this year with our outdoor work day and everything? Last year we had, what, like 20 people show up? And this year, how many, Pastor Chris? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. There was a different day. You know, we had like a work day or a sign up, and usually, and we had just like a ton of names, and then I go back by the list like a day before, you know, the day, and there's like four people signed up, and I'm thinking, where's the opportunity? You know, where's the excitement for the house of God? Say, oh my goodness, Pastor Tim, this service was going so good, now you're giving us all a lashing. But no, seriously.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, people say, oh God, I need you, please help me. Serve in the cleaning ministry. God, I need you to show up. God, I need you to fix this and fix that. They're having a spring cleanup day, you know, or God will speak and say, serve in the nursery. You know, or he'll give you a task. And so many times that task is the doorway. It's the doorway of what you've been believing for. Amen.